Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the second episode of the BECW podcast. I am the People's Choice, John Everyman, and I am joined by...
The Sheriff, Gary Stevens.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Sheriff, Gary Stevens.
Hello, out there in the podcast land. I guess we'll say radio land or TV land, but it's podcast land. And what an honour it is for all of you to be listening to my voice right now.
Well, there we go. But thank you for joining us this time. You missed the first show.
Yeah, well, I was still out in San Francisco having a good time. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, nothing, obviously.
Yes.
So we'll shoot straight on. The nature of the BECW podcast is to catch you all up with the goings-on in BECW, from visiting time at the asylum to our main event shows that happen between Greenwich and our asylum house shows.
Indeed, always something exciting to look forward to, and especially what happened at the last show. We're all proud of that. I know I am, and you, Mr. Everyman, must be extremely proud of what happened.
Well, it's going to have to depend on which part you're referring to.
I'm referring to the glory, the majesty of the new BECW champion and the new BECW tag team champions.
Well, I can get behind the tag team champions because at least that match ended honourably. But what do you mean, what?
What do you mean that meant honourably? You're going to imply something here, aren't you? You're going to imply something very horrible.
I'm going to imply horribly. No, I'm going to imply and imply factually.
Factually.
Yes. Well, because let's face facts here. It was DP that got involved in the main event match between the then BECW champion Marcus Broom and the number one contender and voice of BECW, James Fraser.
Fraser. This isn't Comedy Central.
No. But it was DP getting involved in that match behind the referee's back that knocked out Marcus Broom, which then allowed Fraser to lock on a figure four leg lock that would then appear to the referee that he had passed out from the pain.
Really? Because I saw something completely different.
Well, yeah, you enlightened me then.
What I saw was the referee obviously being distracted by DP's presence, which I understand. Yeah, they were coming out. They just won their belts. They were happy. They were excited. They were going to have a good old party. And yeah, they wanted to involve the BECW crowd in that. There's nothing bad about that. I don't know, we all getting this thing that they came out to interfere. And then, next round though, Marcus Broom turned around, James Fraser grabs him, pulls him under, figure four leg lock. It hurts so much. The pain from a figure four leg lock applied by one of the greatest wrestlers in BECW made him go unconscious, knocked him clean out. And the referee did what he did. He raised the arm three times and it was over. And do you remember that the BECW champion, Mr. BECW himself, did say he was going to beat the Trash Man early that night? In what seemed to be a 20-minute promo, he said he was going to beat him 1, 2, 3. Did he not live up to that promise?
He guaranteed it, I'll give you that. But right at the end of it, you've completely missed out. Yes, DP were out there. Yes, the referee was being distracted by Stan Powers. Where was Richie Delight?
Richie Delight was high-fiving the crowd.
Oh, in your opinion, he was high-fiving the crowd. He was high-fiving Marcus Broom's head with a foreign object, which knocked him out.
Pretty sure it was made in England, but if you want to go there, we'll go there. But no, you know what? What you see and what the rest of the world sees are probably two different things, Mr. Everyman, because you like to be the good guy. You like to be the people's choice.
Right, but before this gets too personal between you and me, I think we're going to shoot and move straight on.
We're having a shoot?
No, we're not shooting in this one.
Oh.
We're going to move straight on to an interview that you conducted.
I did. I had the honour and the privilege of sitting down. Although he came up a bit short against Mr. Ian Lovelace, who was another fine wrestler in BECW at St. Valentine's Day Sunday. He's still, you know, he's the guy responsible for the breaking of Todd's jaw. So let's go live to my interview with the esteemed Sam Irvin. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to one of the exclusive interviews with myself, the Sheriff Gary Stevens, and my very special guest at this time, Sam Irvine.
No, hang on a sec, mate. It's Irvin. It's a silent E, not a magic E. What are you on about?
Irvin. Yes, Irvin. Oh, I apologise. I apologise for that. Yeah. And let's talk about. Well, I'm going to start calling you the Jawbreaker from here on out because that was brilliant.
The Todd Killer, if you like.
Todd Killer. Nice one. Todd not been seen. He's currently at home recuperating. But I want to ask, how do you feel personally about injuring another wrestler and pretty much breaking someone's jaw?
Well, how do you think I feel? You know, thought he was the top guy and challenged me to a match, which I wasn't planning of having a match. I was thinking, oh, I'll just go home and rest my elbow for another victim. But he come up to me saying, oh, I'll beat you anytime. I'm like, all right, prove it. So Mr. Ben Lawrence put the match together, and he thought he was out trying to get me the old cutter, or whatever he calls it. So I thought, nah, screw that, I'm getting you with the elbow.
And it's quite funny now, because you're here having a conversation with yours truly, and he's at home not being able to talk because his jaw's wide shut. But let's move on. Let's move on to Spring Stampede. Let's move on to that, to the fatal four-way match that you're in. Your thoughts, your feelings, yeah, your emotions about going into that.
You've got Mr. Hollywood. The only way he wins the match is putting through his opponents through a table. You've got Chaz Chaps that used to be my partner, and then decides to attack me for no reason when he got the pin, not me. And then you have Jimmy Casanova. Oh, yeah, so you got him, basically. And, like, they're all not in my league. It's like, what's the point?
It indeed doesn't even be able to book a fatal four-way match with yours truly. Someone who can break someone's jaw like that against three guys who basically don't even deserve to be in BCW, let alone wrestling as a whole.
Not in the same ring as me.
Same ring, same league, none of it. That's it. Let's talk about at the last show. Let's talk about St. Valentine's Day, Sin Day. Oh, as you came up a little short against Ian Loveless. Your thoughts and feelings on that one?
Well, like I said again, I wasn't hoping to compete into a match, especially with Mr. Ian Loveless. But knowing the so-called conspiracy, suddenly I'm in a match with a guy who's probably way better than me at wrestling and technical takedowns.
It does seem a bit weird, this whole conspiracy thing that has popped up and starting to shine through a bit more. Let's hear your take on this conspiracy. Obviously, you have your feelings about you being booked into matches where you're not in their league and against technical wrestlers who have mastered the art of revised St. Mount Evans rules. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the conspiracy from your point of view.
Well, like, the conspiracy does exist. I'll tell you that now. Because back when Doomsday in Deptford, that's it, where me and myself and Chaz Chaps were going for the first vacant BCW tag titles. But we won, fair and square. No low blows there. Suddenly, Ben Lawrence comes down out of the blue, said, no, 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 not having that. He mentioned a low blow, which I don't remember giving anyone a low blow. Or remember, gave him the kick to the... give Leo Shadows, or whatever his name is, a kick to the face. Bang, 1, 2, 3. We became the first BCW tag titles. But he comes along and says, no, 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 not having that, blah, 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 whatever. Start that match again. So obviously we thought, all right, we'll just beat him up some more. Even better. Suddenly Chaz Chaps gets pinned. And suddenly he blames me for it. And then I turn my back. And next thing, I get attacked from him. It's just like, we're meant to be a team. You know, you can't turn your back on your own team member.
Well, I'd say I was actually commentating the match. The point I think I pointed out actually on the commentary was that Ben Lawrence comes out and he, you know, restarts the match because of the alleged underhand tactics. But then when Shadow and Lightning start doing double team moves to get the victory, oh no, he's fine with that.
Exactly. That's my point. When it's like people like Leon Shadow and Joe Lightning, Bill Duffy, Marcus Broom, they all get all these... oh, hugs, oh, shake hands, oh, well done, boys, well done, proud of you. But no, when it's us lot, hell no.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the conspiracy intact here at BCW.
Conspiracy exists, I tell you that. Stop the conspiracy.
That was an incredibly enlightening interview there with Mr. Sam Irvin.
It was, a few words.
Few too many words, but we'll move on.
Well, he doesn't need to do talking. His actions speak louder than words, and everyone, there's going a couple more names on that elbow of his. By the end of the year, I guarantee that one.
Indeed so. But we're going to go back on now, and we're going to go back and review the first main event show of 2013. We're going to go back and have a look over St. Valentine's Sin Day. So the opening match for that one was the BECW Vixens match. It was supposed to be Gemini versus Paris Summer. Now,
yeah, you know, Gemini's a fine girl, and Paris Summer's a fine girl as well. You know, I'm a big fan of women. But I have to agree with what happened in the match, and that was Gemini had said she had nothing to prove to Paris, and who can blame her? Because I have to agree with, you know, what the leader said during the match. Those of you who don't know what we're talking about, you know, the DVD is going to be available soon. You can go out there and get it and watch it. believe they brought up a lot of good points. The fact is, I respect British wrestling. I love British wrestling. But women have no place in British wrestling.
Well, this appears to be a very common viewpoint from a number of people. Yourself, the leader, my co-commentator for the first half of St. Valentine's Sunday, James Fraser.
Mr. BCW.
He even holds this view, which is very unpopular with a number of people, because a lot of people like women's wrestling.
Well, you give me one benefit women's wrestling has ever had in British wrestling.
Name you one benefit or one thing that British wrestling has had an impact with female wrestling and combine the two?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Let's throw out a few names. Let's start with Jordynne.
Jordynne, you know what? I have a lot of respect for Jordynne, but again, she is a wrestler. She's not a women's wrestler. She doesn't allocate herself to wrestling women. She goes in there with the guys and she hangs tough with the guys.
Well, very true, but this is the point. You're talking about what benefit has women's wrestling had on British wrestling. We were talking about this overall, that the women have had to hang with the men as well. Other people we can bring up, say like the alpha female.
Alpha female. Well, first of all, Mr. Everyman, Mr.
Continue.
British wrestling,
get on with
guys.
It.
It's alpha female is not British.
Yeah, but she's on the British wrestling scene.
She's on the British wrestling scene. She's a former Eve Pro Wrestling Eve Women's Champion.
There we go.
Or Pro Wrestling Eve Champion, I guess they don't. Yeah, you know, even there, there you go. There's one of the classic points. Pro Wrestling Eve, a company that doesn't even recognise a woman as its champion because it's just the Pro Wrestling Eve Championship. It's not the Pro Wrestling Eve Women's Championship. Championship.
Well, yeah, because it's a promotion solely of women.
Really?
Yes.
Who the hell made that decision?
Right, we're going to move on from this. But what actually transpired in the end, we had Marcella come out, one of the BECW trainees, who wanted to prove herself and get on the card.
She came from the kitchen, didn't she?
Well, I don't think she did. And she came out and she got in the ring with Paris Summer.
Yeah, well, I'll give credit where credit's due. She held her own. She held her own as a trainee. I believe she'd been training for 3-4 months.
Yep.
She held her own against someone like Paris Summer.
And there we go. And then you had, obviously, the leader come out. He said his disparaging remarks, which then caused Paris Summer to...
Disparaging? In your opinion, disparaging remarks?
Okay. In my opinion, disparaging remarks.
Thank you.
Which then caused Paris Summer to leave the ring, confront the leader, which then the referee initiated his 10 count and caused an actual count-out victory to Marcella. Granted, her debut match in BECW, she got a victory. Fantastic. Mm. But at the end of it, you've got this, well, man, chauvinist pig, some might say, thank you. But then this has led to the match that we'll be discussing later on at Spring Stampede.
Indeed, and it's one of those things, again, it's, you know, the leader spoke his mind. They do say one man's terrorist, another man's freedom fighter. I happen to agree with what the leader had to say, and I think a lot of people in the audience had to agree with what the leader had to say.
I wouldn't say everyone agreed, but we'll move on. The second match on the card, we had the BECW Tag Team title match.
Indeed, and it's about time this title match was played on fair ground. Because those of you who watch DPTV a lot, like myself, I'm a subscriber to DPTV, which you can buy merchandise for now, coming soon. It's about time, you know, DP earned their Tag Team title match, and they... I'm going to cut it loss here. They successfully... Look, I'm so excited, I can't talk. They successfully beat Leo Shadows and Joel Lightning.
Oh, very much so. If I remember correctly, my memory serves, Richie Delight pretty much knocking out Leo Shadows.
He was fine.
Well, the referee, and actually even James Fraser himself, left the commentary area to check on his condition.
You know, it's sad when something like that happens in the business, but, you know, hook or by crook, they won the belts.
Yeah, very much. It's a win is a win on this occasion, because at the end of it, it did end by correct pinfall, and it did end in an honourable way.
Yes, right. Yes, I'm going to agree with that one.
Right. Match number three, we had a Poison is Picked for You match. This was the Necromancer facing a mystery opponent picked by Bill Duffy. This was all come about from a tag team match that had happened on visiting time at the asylum. You can come along. It starts at 5 p.m. every Sunday.
I'll be there.
£1 per person at entrance. So please come along and watch visiting time at the asylum. If not, subscribe through our website, www.becw.co.uk, and watch it on there. But yes, it all came about because of a match that happened there, a tag team match.
Indeed.
Which Necromancer lost, Bill Duffy won.
Nico's taken, you know, Bill Duffy, who, you know what, Bill Duffy, he's that guy who does the stupid dance and encourages kids to drink alcohol. Yeah, they're the great role model. God, what kind of country do we live in when someone like that's a role model? But yeah, this thing, he took his time. He planned, he thought about who he could get to take on Necromancer. And in all fairness to Bill Duffy, smart decision, smart move, picking Necromancer's former tag team partner. And Mr. Every Man, would you like to enlighten us who that was?
It was indeed. It was the Widowmaker, Dim Polo, ladies and gentlemen. If you go back to the early days of BCW, these were two men that tagged together, that were brothers of a kind, and they absolutely dominated the tag team ranks in BECW.
Indeed, and you know, it's one of those teams where you kind of show respect from a bit. But again, like most teams, one person has to be the Shawn Michaels, one person has to be the Marty Jannetty. Necromancer was Shawn Michaels, and this Dim Polo guy was the Marty Jannetty. And once again, they proved that when the Necromancer scored a decisive pinfall victory, I believe.
Yep, correct.
Over Dim Polo.
With a tombstone pile driver onto a baking tray, I think it was.
I think it was a baking tray.
Steel tray of some kind.
Yeah, it was something metal and hard.
Oh, there we go. But that's not the controversial. That as much as the controversy that happened at the beginning of the match, it was the controversy that happened at the end of the match that we need to talk about. It was, well, it was the handshake and the embrace between the two of them, but then followed up by the dual attack on the referee. The
referee got in the way.
No, the referee was attacked.
The referee got in the way.
Of what?
They were celebrating, and the referee thought, I'll be a nice guy, and I'll get in there, and I'll get some of this excitement. And, you know, accidents happen in the business. We know that from earlier that night with Leo Shadows. And, you know, the referee just got in the wrong place, wrong time. You know, complete misunderstanding.
What? Complete misunderstanding with a backbreaker elbow drop from the top rope onto the referee?
Yeah.
Right.
That's just how those crazy former tag team partners celebrate. Right. You should go to one of their weddings. It's great.
Well, I think that's something I'll be avoiding any time in the future.
Molotov.
The final match of the first half was a Admiral Lord Mount Evans rules match.
Indeed, real wrestling match.
Yes, this is real British wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. This was five rounds of 3 minutes of submission and pin-based wrestling. Two out of three falls.
Oh, did someone say conspiracy?
Well, no one said conspiracy this time.
There was the word conspiracy. Let's talk about the conspiracy that surrounded this match and how Ian Loveless managed to pull off a victory, although the odds were stacked against him.
In what way?
Ben Lawrence, general manager of BCW and executive vice president or whatever of talent relations, was seated at ringside being the special guest timekeeper.
Yes, and he did his job straight down the middle.
Oh, really? Because I thought some of those rounds were over 3 minutes long.
They really weren't. Seriously, we were on commentary. We were taunting along with the time. But this was Ian Loveless, the man who puts wrestling in BECW. He was the W in BECW.
It was just BEC before he got here.
There we go. And he faced your interviewee from earlier on, Sam Irvin.
Sam Irvin, you know, Sam Irvin who broke Todd's jaw, you know, maybe he was feeling a bit repentant, but I guess this was the punishment made by Mr. Ben Lawrence for Sam's previous misdeeds. If you can call it that, I call it workplace hazard. You know, you injure yourself at work, you're feeling the form. You don't get someone beaten up by a professional like Ian Loveless who can hurt you 15 different ways.
Yeah, so many different ways.
You talk about the man of 1,001 moves. Ian Loveless can take that number, times it by a billion, and not even break a sweat.
That's very true. The man is very versatile when it comes to British wrestling. Submission-based, he is, cream of the crop, perfectly honest with you.
Cream of the crop, and you know what? He also uses his intelligence, because he made Sam Irvin, I believe he pinned Sam Irvine.
Yes.
He then obviously lost around Sam Irvin, that's a given, you know, because he was getting a bit fatigued, because I believe the referee rang the bell a bit early one time.
Right.
And then you got... But he pulled it out. Because what did he use to win the final victory?
Yeah, very true. He did hit Sam Irvin with the tumble dryer clothesline, which then allowed the referee to initiate a 10 count, and he won by technical knockout.
Technical knockout. Doesn't matter how you win, it's the win that counts.
There we go. And as he said at the end, victory!
Indeed. We can all be proud of Mr. Loveless. I know I'm proud to be in a company with Ian Loveless. And I'm proud to have him represent me as a real wrestler.
Oh, yes, but as much as he's on this conspiracy trip right now, we will talk about that later on.
Conspiracy trip? There is a conspiracy. Stevie Wonder can see there's a conspiracy.
In what? Oh, man, you just had to go there, didn't you?
I did.
Right. First match back after the interval we had was supposed to be a 3-on-3 tag team match. The match should have been Mr. Hollywood, Shane Stevens, Duffman Bill Duffy, and Todd Toothpick of Doom versus Chaz Chaps, Remy Casanova, and the leader. Now, obviously, we heard on the last podcast, we've heard from Sam Irvin right across the board here that Todd Toothpick of Doom is currently out injured with a broken jaw. Mr. Hollywood Shane Stevens was actually unable to attend this event. He was not well at all to attend it, which left Bill Duffy in a 1-on-3 match stipulation.
So you say he was unwell. Maybe, you know, Ben Lawrence may have, you know, slipped him something. The conspiracy goes both ways, you know.
Right. I'm not seeing this one at all on this one. But anyway, Duffman Bill Duffy, resourceful as he is, he made a call, he made a phone call, he got in a suitable replacement, it became a 3-on-2 tag team match, and it was High Stakes Tommy Martins.
Yeah, High Stakes Tommy Martins, someone else who I have represented before in the past.
Very true.
And a very nice guy. You know, he's won more awards and accolades than most people have won in their entire lifetimes. The guy is a career wrestler in every sense of the word. And, you know, it's just a shame he has to align himself with someone who forces kids to drink beer.
You are aware that the Duff beer that he drinks is actually just orangeade, right?
Really?
Yes. It's just orangeade.
But still, you got kids in the front row, and there's someone drinking the beer, someone you idolize. Would you want your kids to idolize a man who drinks beer all the time and does stupid dancing? This isn't the 1980s anymore. This is 2013.
There we go. Right, but this match went back and forth. It was several high-risk manoeuvres across the whole board, even including Duffman Bill Duffy missing a diving senton from the top rope, which us on commentary legitimately thought he damaged his neck on.
Indeed, I remember the referee checking him and actually showing quite a lot of concern.
Very much so, and he got up and then took a Casanova spear.
Ooh.
Which nearly broke him in half.
Indeed, you know, the teamwork ethic of the leader, Mr. Chaz Chaps, and Remy Casanova was, you know, not to coin a phrase here, but it was delightful. They worked together well as a unit, and the added bonus of having a great wrestler and an even better manager in Jimmy Stone outside the ring, you know, who didn't interfere in the match at all.
Yeah, there was no times that it was 4-on-1 in a corner being attacked. No, there was none of that.
Did the referee see it?
Well, no, because the referee was being distracted.
It didn't happen. But, you know,
anyway, you talk about like great teamwork in that one as well. You have to look at Bill Duffy and Tommy Martins as well in terms of the quick tags they had, the in and out style. That it was very quick, and there was a lot of damage done to Remy Casanova very early on between the two of them.
Indeed, they worked very well. You know what? If Tommy Martins, you know, Ben Lawrence is going to open his wallet, sign a few checks off. I'd like to see Tommy Martins back in BCW. I'm going to say it right now. And who knows, Bill Duffy, Tommy Martins. Maybe some sort of tandem there. Maybe some sort of tag team in the future.
Well, we'll have to talk to Mr. Lawrence about that. But anyway, moving on to the result of this match. It was Duffman, and it was High Stakes winning the match, pinning Chaz Chaps.
After what seemed to be a battle royale, the match just descended into anarchy. It's where the referees can't keep control of the wrestlers.
Well, yeah, but sometimes those wrestlers just can't be controlled.
Indeed.
In the penultimate match of St. Valentine's Sunday, it was a triple threat match between War, the Viper Dia Morale, and Miguel Marley, the Jamaican sensation.
Poor Miguel Marley. Didn't have a chance. Didn't have a hope in hell.
Well, yeah, you wrote him off that early, and he actually ended up winning the match.
Yeah, in the fans' eyes, he won the match. But
no, he won the match.
Fine. Technically, he won the match. Okay, but who was left lying on their back afterwards?
War.
There you go.
So, not Miguel Marley.
So, Dia Morale won the match.
Yes, Dia Morale did not win the match. Miguel Marley won the match by pinning Dia Morale. But it wasn't any of this that really mattered when it came down to what happened after the match.
Yes, I'm going to agree with this one. You know, being a former manager myself, the presence at rings, I don't mean that as a ooh presence, I mean that as a physical entity that appeared after Hades stormed the ring.
Yep, and it looked like that Morelli and him were going to go at it. But then they both turned and attacked War.
What the hell kind of unholy alliance has been awakened here in BCW?
I don't know, but that whoever came out right at the end, the masked man that seems to have the almost like the puppet master control over both of these men, after the Warriors then got involved.
Yeah,
And I was perfectly honest with you, myself and Ian Lovelace at this point, who were sitting on commentary, were expecting the Warriors to get absolutely smashed by these two giants, but were called away by this puppet master of the kind.
You know, I've seen Dean Morelli lots and lots of times. I've seen him obliterate wrestlers. I do not mean that exaggeratingly. There's a few bodies and a few skeletons buried at the end of Dean Morelli's garden. If he has a garden, I don't even want to think about where he lives. You see the guy dead or something like that. And you got to wonder, who would have that kind of power over a monster, let alone both monsters, that they wouldn't attack? They would just simply leave.
Yeah,
these are
true.
Aggressive animals, is the only way to describe people like this.
Yeah, very true. But then this led into our main event for Sunday. This was the BECW Championship match. It was the
match of the year candidate.
It was nice. It was the champion, the Trash Man Marcus Broom, facing the number one contender and voice, and at the end of the match, the face of BECW.
Indeed.
It was James Fraser.
And a champion we can all be proud of.
Well, you can be proud of.
We should all be proud of Mr. Fraser as our BECW champion. He's a guy who doesn't cheat in matches, respects the other wrestlers, treats everyone with the same respect. You know, whenever I go there, he's come straight up to me. We shake hands. We do a little hug. And yeah, I've had many a picture taken with him, me, him, and his bell.
Right, okay. You want to talk about someone who doesn't cheat, someone who's honourable and all of this. Right, we'll run down a few things about Mr. Fraser, shall we? Right, prior to Sunday, there was a massive brawl in the ring, and Fraser slid in, like the snake that he is, and delivered a devastating super kick to someone who completely didn't deserve it, and out of the way, and didn't even know it was coming. Number one. Two, after this event, at the latest visiting time at the asylum that we were at last week, Mr. Fraser, who was doing the lovely job of ring announcing, decided to, for some reason, to put his boot into the referee's jaw after the whole show ended, for no reason once again. So then we'll flip back to Sunday, shall we? And that you don't claim that he cheats. No, granted, okay, in that match maybe he didn't cheat, but he took advantage of cheating scumbags.
Wouldn't you, Mr. Everyman? You sit there in your little pedestal, like you're high and mighty.
Sorry, my soapbox. Is that what we're
your
talking about?
Your soapbox, yeah.
Get on my soapbox.
Yeah, you're going to go on your soapbox. And you wouldn't, if someone came in and hit someone with an object and they were on the floor, would you not cover them?
It would depend on what had happened previously.
The belt is on the line. That's all that matters.
No, it doesn't. Sorry, I've lost my headphones, ladies and gentlemen.
He's getting aggressive, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's happening.
I'm not getting aggressive.
He's losing his cool.
Right, we'll come to that later on. But it did end with, as we spoke about earlier on in the podcast, DP coming out, Stan Powers distracting the referee, Richard Delight sliding in the ring, knocking the absolute holy hell out of Trashman Marcus Broom, James Fraser then taking fantastic advantage of it, slapping on a figure four leg lock, Broom is unconscious, referee turns around, can only turn around and ascertain, one, he's knocked out, two, we can pin him, done.
The pain must have been so excruciating to knock out Marcus from.
Well, there we go. But then the next thing happened of the next 10-minute celebration.
The 10-minute celebration was a glorious time. It was a time to recognise true champions. Now, fair enough, Shadow and Lightning and Marcus Broom respectfully held their titles for 169 days. But I think we're going to see those records obliterated now, because we now have champions we can be proud of. Champions the fans want to keep the belts. And you know what? Hopefully Ben Lawrence isn't going too much of his sprinkle his fairy conspiracy dust everywhere, that we'll hopefully not have him as a special guest referee or a special guest timekeeper, or hopefully not as long as GM, we can have our own way. That'd be great. Can you imagine a BSW without Ben Lawrence? I can. It would be glorious.
Well, there we go. But ladies and gentlemen, that was St. Valentine's Sunday. Now, I'm going to quickly throw us back to you, because you, Mr. Stevens, conducted an interview with former BECW champion, Mr. Marcus Broom, the Trash Man. So, we're going to throw that interview in right now.
I must almost state a warning. Common language is used on behalf of Marcus Broom. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, here with the former, and it does give me a great pleasure to say former, BECW champion, Trash Man Marcus Broom. And I'm going to say this, Mr. Broom, how does it feel to be a former champion?
Well, you know something, Sheriff. I don't remember too much about that match. I remember hitting Fraser with a brainbuster and waking up outside the ring without a belt, but more importantly, without Broom Jr. Now, something needs to be done about both of these problems, but I'm going to deal with Fraser first, and that's going to be next time in Greenwich. He wants to break the rules. Well, I'm going to make it my own way, and that's going to be a dumpster match.
Oh, yeah, say the dumpster match. That seems pretty one-sided to me. I mean, James Fraser, he's not a pikey. He's never been in a bin, and you're used to climbing in and out of bins, being a trash man. So how is this fair?
Whether he's called Earl, whether he's called Fraser, he can call himself whatever he wants. My job is to take out the trash and to put it where it needs to go. And he is the biggest piece of garbage in this wrestling company at the moment.
He is actually our current BSW champion and a champion of champions, some say. The man, the myth, the legend, the champ, the face, the voice, where you're just the trash man.
Yeah, but remember, I beat Carl Atlas to get that vacant title fair and square in the ring, 1-2-3. Fraser may be the champ, but he cheated. I don't know how, but you don't just wake up at the side of the ring without your belt like that.
So would you say there was a conspiracy here in BCW?
You know what? I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't even know how to spell conspiracy. It means nothing to the trash man. But I suspected a little bit of foul play. But you know what? That's irrelevant. All I want to do now is go after Fraser and get the title back.
A pretty successful win. You got the win last week at visiting time at the asylum to obviously choose the stipulation. But I do believe you didn't pin the legal man in the ring. So how's that fair?
You know what? I don't even care about that. I'll pin whoever's in front of me at the time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the time or the place. Hell, I'll even count all three down on the ground if need be.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Broom. I guess we can go now.
Coming up on Saturday, 16th of March, in Greenwich, we have Spring Stampede. At this event, we have the On The Line, the BECW Tag Team Championships. It's the Delightful Powers defending against the former Tag Team Champions of Leo Shadows and Joel Lightning.
Also on the card, you will have a Fatal 4-Way Elimination Match pitting Remy Casanova against Sam Irvin, against Mr. Hollywood Shane Stevens, and against Chaz Chaps. Elimination rules apply.
We also have on this card as well an Intergender Tag Team Match. It will be Gemini and the Leader versus Marcella and a Mystery Tag Team Partner. This will be announced on the night, or potentially previously, on Visiting Time of the Asylum. Stay tuned.
And the epic saga of Ian Loves Us does continue in the revised St. Mount Evans Rules match, as Ian Loves is challenging Miguel Marley. Let's see if the Jamaican sensation can put away Loveless once and for all.
We also have another tag team match. It will be Duffman Bill Duffy and El Technico Supremo versus the Teenage Sensation Jake Whitfield and Steve Love. Be sure to be there for this one. This one is promising to be high-flying, hard-hitting, and great show.
You want to talk about powerhouses? Let's talk about War versus the Viper DeAmirelli. Two guys who have a history. Two big guys who have a history. This is going to be a knockout brawl.
And rounding off the card, ladies and gentlemen, we have the BECW Championship match. This is going to be a take out the trash dumpster match, ladies and gentlemen. The only way to win is to dump your opponent in a trash dumpster and close the lid. This will be the first title defense for current champion, the voice of BECW, James Fraser, versus the previous BECW champion, Trash Man Marcus Broom. If you miss everything else on this card, be there for this fight. It is going to be one hell of a show.
And of course, mentioned there was the BECW Tag Team title match pitting Delightful Powers against Shadow and Lightning. And recently, I had the distinct honour, yet again, to have a sit-down chat with the current, well, one half of the current reigning, defending Tag Team Champions, Mr. Stan Powers. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time, one half of the BECW Tag Team Champions, Mr. Stan Powers.
Hello, you lucky people. I'm Stan Powers, one half of the BCW Tag Team Champions, one half of the ICBW Tag Team of the Year 2012, and one half of the RMV People's Choice Award winners.
Indeed, many accolades in such a short period of time. And now I have to ask you, coming up, Spring Stampede, you're taking on, in the rematch, Shadow and Lightning. Your thoughts, feelings?
No strong feelings going into it. It's going to be a bit of a walkover. We've clearly proven we can take them out. We've had no trouble with them in the past. When we've decided we want to beat them, we've beaten them.
Fair points. I strongly agree with you. That was a cakewalk of a match. But now, absent as he is your partner, I'm sure you speak on behalf of both DP. And you know, your future challenges, being the number one tag team currently in BCW, and some say the country.
Oh, I don't know if I'd go that far. Well, not far enough to put a number on us. We're better than that with an A1 tag team. You need a letter and a number to describe DP here. Yes, we could well be the number one, A1 tag team in the country, in the world even. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm not a frog, you're not a bunny. Let's not skip ahead.
Indeed. Good call, sir. Yeah, and going back to the, I brought this up earlier, but the conspiracy issue here, which once again surrounds BCW. At the last match, I do believe you were the legal man, but you were not pinned.
I was indeed the legal man in the match. Once again, Ben Lawrence and his crooked team of officials have taken it upon themselves to cheat Stan Powers out of a win. I won't go too much into it right now. Just check out episode 3 of DPTV on the official DPTV YouTube channel to find out all about this Ben Lawrence conspiracy. Believe me, you will be astounded.
Thank you very much, Mr. Powers. Good luck in your upcoming match. You know, interesting points there raised by Mr. Stan Powers. And those of you who aren't aware of this conspiracy, I'm not even going to say a theory, because it is a conspiracy.
No, we're not talking about this, are we?
We are. This is the hot topic in BCW right now. Because yet again, time and time again, it's been proven. Watch DPTV episode 3, where Mr. Stan Powers will talk in depth about how he has been a victim of this conspiracy. Not just Stan Powers. Got Mr. Ian Lovelace. Who at Greenwich, he brought up in the last podcast. If you haven't heard the last podcast, then why are you listening to this podcast? You don't know what we're talking about. But go back and listen to Mr. Ian Lovelace talk about the time when he was, you know, it was horrible. It was horrible to be touched by Marcus Brim in that area, but not once, but twice. And did the referee do anything about it? No. Ben Lawrence's senior crooked referee, Clayton Daniels, Clayton on the take Daniels, you know what I'm saying?
Goodness, see, this is ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous.
You just can't see the conspiracy. Because I'll put you on the spot here, Mr. Everyman, Mr. People's Choice.
Right, okay.
Have you taken a bribe from Ben Lawrence to ignore the conspiracy?
No.
No, he's winking at me, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm really not.
He is. He's winking at me, he's saying,
"Why?" I would admit it if this was legitimate. If there was actually a thing going on, a conspiracy, as people are saying, as Fraser is saying, as Lovelace is saying, as DP is saying, as Irvin is saying,
as I am saying,
as you are saying, Mr. Gary Stevens,
Sheriff Gary Stevens,
Sheriff of what?
Sheriff of British wrestling,
right?
Because British wrestling needs a sheriff, and I'm going to bring Ben Lawrence to justice.
There we go.
Because I'm going to join DP's crusade here. DP, you have the full backing of the sheriff's department on this one, and I'm going to bring my own law enforcement team in to investigate. I want an investigation done. I want the BECW committee that decide everything to investigate Ben Lawrence right now. I want a response from someone at BECW HQ up there in the head office, that big tall building in Croydon. I want someone to come here on this podcast and tell me they're going to investigate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, we will endeavour to get that off for the next podcast, ladies and gentlemen. The next podcast will happen prior to the 14th of April. So it'll be the week before the 14th of April. That'll be our next show after Spring Stampede. So make sure you keep an eye out for it. It will get plugged everywhere, as it always does. But coming back to your point about conspiracies, conspiracy theories.
It is a conspiracy theory.
Yes, if you buy into Mr. Powers' proof in inverted commas. Well, proof in inverted commas. Yes, this is inverted commas.
Yes, I can
not
see
winking, this is inverted commas.
He's doing right. Bunny ears at me, ladies and gentlemen.
There
he's
we go.
Not mature. He's on the take.
I'm on the take.
You're on the take.
My goodness sake.
Yeah, John ridiculous. On the take every man. It's got a nice little ring to it. You got on the take Clayton Daniels.
Right.
Never trust a man who wears a bow tie.
Right, okay, so you don't trust any referee.
I don't trust any referee who wears a bow tie and has foreseen or not foreseen. You know what? We might as well have Stevie Wonder refereeing our matches.
You know, he won't see anything.
Stephen Wonder will see more than Clayton Daniels sees.
And what about the secondary official for BECW, Dave Andrews?
Dave Andrews. I think Dave Andrews here, he just follows orders. Because, let's say, Dave Andrews has been assaulted. Okay, I'm gonna admit this.
Okay.
Dave Andrews has been assaulted twice. He has been assaulted by James Fraser with a super kick. And he has been assaulted by, you know, not assaulted, but he got hurt in a celebration with Dimpolo and Necromancer. Now, why hasn't Ben Lawrence stepped in? Maybe they're trying to silence him because he's had enough of the conspiracy and he wants to speak out.
Well, whether there's a conspiracy or not, BECW, in terms of its staffing, does appear to be an unsafe place to work. But
why has nothing been done?
But at the same time, it is along the lines, this is professional wrestling. People will, accidents happen. They get hurt.
Oh, it's all coincidence, is it?
Yes, the whole conspiracy, if you actually look at the whole evidence that's been stacked up, it honestly does look like a lot of coincidences one after the
other. Did you see DP TV episode 3?
Yes.
Did you hear what Stan had to say?
Yes.
Now, you don't believe there's a conspiracy after all that?
No, I legitimately know that the commentary gear was lost.
Yeah, I know, the commentary gear was lost. That just added insult to injury. But the fact is that, oh, Stan, would you mind making funny on commentary for us? Yeah, why Stan's back's turned, let's take the knife, stab it in there, and have a battle royale to determine a number one contender.
Yeah, but you can't say that. Later on in the card, he was involved in a six-man elimination match to determine a number one contender, which Ian Loveless won. Granted, I know there was a conspiracy in that one as well, which Ian Loveless is solely responsible for.
Hey, maybe.
In terms of pulling the lower rope away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, who else in that match was involved in the Battle Royal? No one.
Really, no one. Yeah, no one. Okay.
So why would Stan Powers be involved in that match? Do we need to make exceptions for certain people? Is that what we're saying now?
Oh, you don't make exceptions for certain people. You just need to see. You need to see Mr. Everyman. Because you are not seeing. You're down on your knees kissing Ben Lawrence's little ass. I'm going American. This is how annoyed I am that you are denying these allegations. The fact is that you're now part of the conspiracy.
No. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I'm not involved in any side of this. I'm solely here as a man that reports the news on a podcast for BECW, very much like yourself. But at this point in time, you are an opinionated son of a... No, I'm not even going to say it at that point.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Beach ball. No one's telling you not to... Oh, beach ball.
Yeah, son of a beach ball. We'll go with that, shall we? And we'll just... end it there, because this is, as you can see, people are getting hot over this conspiracy issue, ladies and gentlemen, and it is right across BECW.
There is a conspiracy.
Now, granted, I will admit to the fact that Ben Lawrence has not responded in any way to this, whether to confirm or deny the evidence or the actual existence of a conspiracy. But he has not responded.
Yeah, because he's something to hide. He's too busy shredding documents.
No, not necessarily. Sometimes the best way of dealing with something is to do nothing about it.
This is BECW Gate, 2013, the year of exposure. And not the good kind of exposure people look forward to. This is the nasty underbelly of British wrestling. You know what, I'm going to take a break from this.
Well, after that heated discussion about conspiracies, we're going to leave it right there. My colleague, Mr. Gary Stevens, has re-entered the room. He has put his headset back on and has stopped throwing his toys out of the pram. But we'll move on to the 14th of April. The 14th of April is the next show after Spring Stampede. It will be happening back in Croydon, back at the Asylum, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Highway to Hell. Now, Stevens, you have some interesting information about this.
I did. You know what? I managed to receive an email this morning.
That's impressive for you, receiving an email.
You know what? I got this new phone. It's got the internet on it. It's amazing.
There we go.
And you know what? One of the things with the interesting thing is I can't give too much away because I don't know too much. But a brand new match, never seen before anywhere in the UK, will happen at Highway to Hell. The only thing I know is the name, the Cash-In Challenge. Doesn't that just breed mystery?
It does indeed. So, ladies and gentlemen, the 14th of April. You need to tune into Visiting Time at the Asylum on becw.co.uk to find out everything that's going to happen between now and the 14th of April. You need to be there on the 14th of April at the Asylum in Croydon. You should know where it is by now. If you don't, check it out on our website, becw.co.uk. That is the Highway to Hell event. You need to know.
Cash in challenge.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are rounding out this podcast for this episode, for this month. Always left for us to do now is our outro, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll start with some plugs.
Yeah, you think you're going to do this one? You've been saying it all night. It's time for the sheriff, time for the voice of this podcast to say what everyone's thinking. Where can I find out all this great information about the wrestlers, title histories, upcoming events? It's all in one place. www.becw.co.uk. www.becw.co.uk. It's simple. Type it in, have a look. You can find everything BECW related there.
Absolutely. Not only our own website, but please check out the BECW Facebook page. We have all the information about upcoming events, event times, and everything else to go along with that as well. So it ties in nicely with that. You can become a fan, official fans. We always like that. So, but also, not only do we have Facebook pages, not only do we have our website, and not only do we have Visiting Time at the Asylum on the website.
Indeed.
We have... What else do
DPTV.
We have DPTV.
And there's an easy way to find DPTV, because there's a couple of fake DPTVs currently on YouTube. They're not the official DPTV. So all you got to do is type in DPTV space BECW, press enter the search engine on YouTube, it will come up, and you will be delightfully surprised by the power of DPTV.
If you haven't watched the previous three episodes, please do. They've got some great stuff on there. Conspiracy theories, interviews, absolutely everything. If you then also watch out for episode 4, they've got an interview with the former BECW champion, Marcus Broom.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to watch that.
Absolutely. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, but at Visiting Time at the Asylum, you can watch it through our website, but you can also come along and be a member of the audience. And get on our website. That's what you want to do. So what you want to do is come along on Sundays at 5 p.m. to the Asylum. It's £1 per person. That's £1. That's £1. You can't even buy 100 penny sweets for a pound anymore.
No, you can't.
But it's £1 per person. That is Visiting Time at the Asylum. You can come along, be a crowd member, cheer all your fan favourites and boo all the people you don't like.
Like Mr. Everyman here.
No, you had to say it, didn't you?
I did. And but plus, bring signs. Bring signs, guys.
Big signs.
Big signs. I want to see big signs of We Heart the Sheriff, because the Sheriff hearts all of you.
Right, and finally, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday the 16th of March is the reason this podcast is being recorded. It's why it has been released this week. The 16th of March, Saturday, in Greenwich West Community Centre, it is Spring Stampede. We spoke about it earlier. The doors are at 7 and bell time is 7:30, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
Well, you should all get there too.
Right, so ladies and gentlemen, from me, the People's Choice, John Everyman.
And from his great host, the Sheriff, Gary Stevens.
We bid you a good evening, good night, good day, whatever else you want to say, and we'll see you on the 16th.
Be there. Just be there.